exciting things up ahead. Praise the Lord. You ever had a blessing where, this isn't the message, but it's good anyways, where you have a blessing and like you're excited about everything you're doing, and then but you know like at the end it's going to be the best. I don't know, maybe say you went to Disney World or something and you got all the boring stuff at Epcot Center out of the way. My wife's laughing because she loves that place. Her in-laws joke about, my in-laws, be her parents, joke about how when they took her there, how old were you?
Sixth grade,
you know, they spent all this money to take her to Disney World in Florida. And they have all this fun day, and went to Epcot that day as a sixth grader. And they get done at the end of the day, and the whole family's excited. You know, they have this little girl, they're there for her. What was your favorite part of the day, Courtney? And she said, Pizza Hut. They love that story. You know, here they'd spend all that money to take her to Florida. They could have took her to Pizza Hut 20 minutes down the road from their house. But anyways, maybe, you know, you go and you save the best for last. And I'll tell you what, that song reminds me of that, because this Christian walk that we have, we get Jesus and eternal life here on earth, and then we get to experience all the blessings that God has for us. But we also get to be used by God. I mean, what an honor to be used by God on earth. Whether it's serving in your church, whether it's telling somebody, whether it's loving on somebody that's hurting and showing them the love of God, what an honor it is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. But then we got the icing on the cake waiting for us in heaven. Isn't that awesome? It's like it doesn't get worse. It doesn't get, you know, it's not like the vacation's ending and it gets bad. And no, it gets better and better. And that song reminds me of heaven. And I just... we win no matter what. Praise God. That's our ultimate ending, and we're just so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray before we get into the Word. God's got something good for us this morning. Father, we are so grateful for heaven. Lord, that you've given us eternal life. Lord, you've promised us eternal life. Lord, what peace that brings to us. Father, what joy that brings to us. It takes away so much uncertainty. With all that's going terrible in the world, knowing that our destiny is sealed. And Father, that we have an exact location where we're going to be with you forever. Thank you for that. But Father, you didn't want us to experience all the goodness that you have for us when we get to the sweet by and by. No, we're your children right now. You want us to be blessed right now. You want us to be examples of your goodness. You want us to be examples of your blessings. And so Father, we just thank you so much for the Word of God. The Word is how we access the promises. It comes through the preaching and teaching and the doing of the Word. So, Father, we thank you for the message this morning. We thank you that we will be blessed. We thank you that something will be said that will affect our lives for the positive. That it'll be as if you're speaking directly to us. Holy Ghost, I know you can do that. As I open my mouth, I yield to you. I only want to say what you want me to say today. Now, I've studied and I've prepared and I know a direction that you want me to go, but you just interrupt me. You say whatever you want to say. We're believing for boldness. We're believing for utterance. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Let me ask you a quick question before we jump into the message. How many of you are fearless enough and confident enough that any time that you have a need, any time that things go off course and not the will of God as they should for your life, as we teach you, and something comes and you say, that's not supposed to happen. It might happen with the tribulations, but that's not supposed to stay in my life. And you know, you start to get off track being out of the will of God, and you know, the devil brings financial pressure, physical pressure causes people around you to act like the devil, causes circumstances in this world to go a little different than we preach. How many of you would be fearless enough and would have the boldness enough? Let's say that if God Almighty was here on the earth in a physical location, let's say we had a room, the God room, and he's in there on the throne, you know, and how many of you would be fearless enough, bold enough, confident enough that no matter what came up in your life, even if you were the cause of the problem, that you'd prance right in to the throne and walk right up to the Lord and say, this is what I need to walk. And then when you're done saying it, say, and I thank you that it'll happen, and turn around and walk out of there and know that it's done. Let me ask you that question. How many of you would do that? How many of you are at that place where you're that fearless. No matter what you've done in life, no matter what problems you've caused, no matter what, how little or how big the need is, no matter what you think about yourself, who would be bold enough to go do that? Well, if you're not bold enough to go do that, then you haven't arrived to the place that God would have you arrive. And I want to point that out today because there is so much holding people back in the body of Christ because people are so self-conscious. They're so sin-conscious. They're so past-conscious. They're so all these other things conscience except God-conscious. I don't even know if I'm saying that word right, but you know what I mean. As I'm saying it more and more, I'm thinking, I don't even know if that's what it's supposed to sound like. But you know what I'm trying to say. You know, you're more aware of yourself. You're more aware of your past. You're more aware of your faults, your mistakes. You're more aware of your lack of prayer time. You're more aware of your unfaithfulness than you are of God and what He did for you. And God doesn't want you to do that. He's given you a gift that He wants you to live out. And the body of Christ hasn't even scratched the surface of the gift. And the gift I'm talking about is the gift of righteousness. Haven't even scratched the surface. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 40 years, 50 years. Haven't even scratched the surface of what God wants you and how He wants you to be towards yourself, but also in His presence. Righteousness, as we'll see, will cause you to live a victorious lifestyle. It'll cause you to prance right into the throne when you need something. And you know, people don't realize forgiveness is a need. It is, right? How many of you, without raising your hands, but we all probably could say, you know, Pastor, I've had to ask forgiveness for the same thing over and over and over again. Anybody there? I'm just going to go ahead and just admit it right now. I've been there, asked for the same thing. Well, see, if you go in that instance of a need, that's a need. When you have a sin, you have a need of forgiveness. That's a need. If you are kept out of the presence of God, or if you have any sort of shame or any sort of, now, godly sorrow is different from being ashamed and being condemned. You know, we ought to feel bad when we miss God. We ought to be something grieved in us, but not to the point that it keeps us from Him. And if you don't run to Him in that time, and if because you say, you know, I've been here a million times, you don't want to hear the same thing, I'm such a failure, blah, 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 then you need this message. This message is for you, amen? And but not just that, just understanding that you've been put in the position that Jesus was put in. You know, when Jesus had needs, He had financial needs. He had, you study His ministry, you see all these different needs. Well, where did He go to get those needs met? He went to the Father. He was bold, wasn't He? Remember when Lazarus died and he was 3 days in the grave and the Bible says he stinketh? Well, you would have too, right? And it says he was 3 days in the grave, and I love it. You get an awesome picture of Jesus. You know, when Jesus heard about it, He didn't run to Lazarus. It took Jesus, he took His time getting there, study it out. Most people would be so upset with Jesus. How could you not come here right now? Well, people have to understand, you know, you have faith too. You can use your faith just as much as a pastor can. I mean, thank God for the pastor and for the to pray and to join faith with you. But man, the body of Christ needs to understand you have access to God. Amen. You have just as much access to God as I do. You have just as much access to God as Billy Graham does. I mean, yes, do I get my pastor praying for things? Absolutely, I do. Don't misunderstand me, but I don't go there in desperation. I don't, when something happens, get on the main line to my pastor in a sense of desperation and worry and fear that, oh my gosh, pastor, start praying. And he's going to say, why don't you pray? You have just as much access to God as I do. And it's true, I do. But see, here the thing is, when you have an understanding of who you are, that you are been put in a rightful place. Just God sees you as He sees Jesus. But see, the Christian, they think, well, how could he? I have sinned. Well, see, you don't understand then. Well, I have failures. Well, then you don't understand because God desires to look at you like Jesus, and He desires for you to accept Him to look at you like He does Jesus. But you see, Jesus, He was fearless. Remember He prayed, He said, when He raised Lazarus from the dead, He said, Father, I know You hear me, and I know You always hear me. And the only reason I'm saying it is for the people. He wanted the people by to understand, listen, I got an access. I got a main line to the Father. Well, the Bible says, Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I'll answer you. That's heaven's phone number. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, that's heaven's phone number. Call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. Praise God. You have access to the Father. But see, when you don't have that idea, you don't have that mindset, well, we're just going to swipe some things clean today. Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says this. You know, before I read it, my heart as a pastor is to empower people, empower the body of Christ to walk in what exactly what God wants them to walk in. God wants you to walk and live a certain way, and it's marked by victory. It's marked by conquering different things in your life and being victorious. And it's marked by prosperity, and it's marked by health, and it's marked by joy, and it's marked by peace, and it's marked by boldness. That's what God wants you to walk into. And as my job as a pastor is to empower people, and this is one of those messages. It says, let us, I love that. Everybody say, let us. You know who that's talking about, right? You. That's talking about me. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Is forgiveness a time of need? Is a financial problem a time of need? Is a physical problem a time of need? I know, redundancy, I know. Beating a dead horse here on purpose. But what I want you to see is, where does God want you to go in the time of need? To Him. He wants you to go to Him in a time of need. Well, I bring forgiveness up because that's one thing that will keep people out. Well, I've repented for this every day for the last 3 years. Well, He wants you to come to Him in a time of need. You need something, right? Maybe if you're doing something for the same time for 3 years, maybe you need to ask Him for something different to help. Help me get over this, Father. What do I need to do? Give me something to help me here. But He wants you to come to Him. Hallelujah. Well, this is what I want you to see. That we, when it says us, it's talking about us. Everybody in the body of Christ. We have been, and I say it this way, eternally invited into God's presence. Eternally, right? This is what I call, I have all these different sayings for different verses. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, I call it heaven's phone number. I call Hebrews 4 and verse 6, heaven's invitation, right? You get invitations in the mail, and they're pretty, and I like the ones where you open them, like a million things fall out, and you got to put them back together like a puzzle. You ever had any of those kind? Well, this one doesn't have that, but it's got good stuff in it. This is heaven's invitation. See, people need to wake up and start believing that God's word is a personal letter to them. Amen. I don't read this. I mean, I just take it personally. I say, man, this is right to me. If there was a beginning, dear so-and-so, it'd say, dear Pastor Mike on the page. People need to wake up and realize this is how God communicates to you. Jesus does not need to come out of heaven. God does not need to show up in your bedroom in the middle of the night. Now, if that happens, wonderful, and hip-hop hooray for you. But that don't happen to the majority of people. Now, it does happen to people. Visions are biblical, and they do happen to people. And people have experiences and encounters with God supernaturally. But the best encounter you can have is His Word, because it's there. You have God all the time. You see, people that need more than this have not got a revelation of what this is. I don't need more than this. This will guide me through everything that I need to do in life. And now, anything that's not in here, like, should I take that job? Should I move to this city? Should I do that? He gave me the Holy Ghost. Because there's certain requests that aren't going to be answered in the Bible, right? You know, what color shirt should I wear today? Well, don't pray about it. That's a joke. You don't need to pray about what shirt. Just wear whichever one you want. Hallelujah. But I'm saying that when there's things in here that I don't see, I know that I have my spirit. You know, what city was I supposed to pastor? I didn't find a verse for that. I didn't find a verse, but the Holy Ghost told me. And so people that need more than the Holy Ghost and more than the Bible, they don't understand some things. But you have to understand this verse. This is God inviting you to come to Him in any time you have a need so you can get that need met. But there are some things we need to see. And on that invitation, we all understand invites, right? She married a Catholic guy, and she's born again, but she married a Catholic guy, and there's a lot of born-again Catholics, don't get me wrong. And so she's married to him, and they just had a baby. You know, the Catholics believe that if you don't have your baby baptized, that they'll go to hell, that they don't go to heaven. Well, biblically, that's not true. So if you grew up, that's not going down on the Catholics. You know, you look in the Bible, there were no baby baptisms in the Bible. There was only when they were older and they had a conscious choice to want to be baptized, because baptism is a symbol of you go out, you're out of the water one way, you go under the water, you get cleansed, and you come up a different way. Well, that's a choice, and you see older people making that decision. Never was there anything in the Bible about baby baptisms, and And so, but they did that, and we wanted to go and be a support to them. You know, we don't say, we don't believe in that, you idiots, we're not going. No, we get a gift for the baby, we're glad to be there, excited. I tell you, that goes a longer way than saying, listen, I don't believe in your doctrine, I'm staying away. No, they wouldn't understand that, and we'd push them away. So we go to be a blessing, and we're so thankful to go and to be a blessing, but there was only certain family members invited to this. And one of my aunts, we'll leave her name out in case she's listening. She's probably not listening, so I'll probably say her name. But she did not get an invite, and it was really for just grandparents and siblings. And such a ruckus and a stir was caused. Why didn't I get invited? Why didn't I get invited? Let me ask you a question. If you don't get an invitation to something, do you really need to ask that? Do you really need to ask, why am I not invited? It's because they don't want you there. I mean, can we just be completely honest? I had a friend that I grew up with, and before I accepted Jesus, this was back when I used to love to play football and video games, and we'd play for hours and just drink pop till we couldn't drink any more pop and just had fun, and then drink some other things that we shouldn't have been drinking till we couldn't drink anymore, and just playing and doing all these things. And then I accepted Jesus, and dynamics changed, because I'm not, all of a sudden, I'm a little different. The same things I used to think were fun, for some reason, weren't fun, and I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to be in the house of God. And so we started drifting apart, but we got married in 2004. I got saved in 2002, so it was about 2 years. And I invited him to the wedding, and he came. It was great. Well, then he got married a few years later, and I didn't get an invitation. And here we were so close, because they just can't stand me anymore. They think I'm nuts. But when I didn't get that invitation, I didn't go calling him and his future wife and say, did you forget to send me one? Is it maybe in the mail? Didn't it get there? Listen, I'm smart enough to know. I didn't get an invitation because he don't want me there, right? Do we really need to ask? And so on the other side, when we get an invitation, we are completely justified in knowing I'm wanted there. My presence is requested there. You know, the people we invited to our wedding, it's because we wanted them to celebrate that with us. We wanted them to be there in our presence. We wanted them to be a part of it. And when God here in this verse, if you get a revelation of this verse, you'd never stay out. You'd always go in. He has eternally invited you to come into his presence. You don't ever have to wonder, well, does God want to help me here? There's your answer. You know, you go to a wedding with an invitation and you're not going there and going, oh, God, I hope they don't kick me out of here. Why? You have an invite. You know you're supposed to be there. You're not worried. It's like you're a wedding crasher. You show up and you just hope that you just get lost from the crowd and you can eat some good food. Right? Praise God. We're invited. Praise the Lord. But God wants to impart into our lives. He says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, here's what we're getting with the whole righteousness thing. Yes, God has invited you. I'm one of these people that I just am a stickler for the Bible. I'm sorry, that's the way your pastor is. If it's not in the Bible, I'm not going to believe it. And if it's in the Bible, I'm going to believe it, and you're not going to talk me out of it. It's just, I'm going to be a stickler for it, and then that works in my life, and it works in other people's lives. And so when I see something, I don't candy coat things or put a nice little blanket over things and pat people and say it'll be okay. I got to tell them what the Bible says, right? Because a lot of times in our religious thinking and because of people's situations and circumstances, we like to tell them it's going to be okay when it might not be okay. Listen, I'm here to tell you, if you don't do the Bible, it might not be okay in your life. Can I just tell you that? If you don't do it God's way, I can't tell you it's going to be okay. If you don't listen to the Spirit of God in your heart and you violate that, I can't promise you it's going to be okay. But I can tell you, when you do it God's way, it'll be okay. So let's look at this, because we know God's invited us. We know that throne he's sitting on is not condemnation, it's not judgment, it's grace. He says, come to obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Our needs, God has an ability to meet every single one of our needs, whether it's forgiveness, financial, physical, no matter what it is, God has it for us. But see, we have to look at the whole verse, because it says, let us therefore come, but he tells us in a manner or an attitude to come with, boldly. Didn't he say that? He said, come to me in boldness. The amplified for that word boldness is fearlessly and confidently. Coming to God in his presence. Now see, that's a requirement to obtaining grace and mercy and help in time of need. Don't go there timid and, you know, let me tell you what boldness isn't. Oh, Father, now I know I've done this and I've asked you to forgive me for 700 days in a row, and that's not boldness. See, you have a lack of understanding of who you are and your position with God. And see, that's what we're trying to get to you today, is that position you have with God, to be fearless and confidently to go to Him. And today will help you to be fearless and to be confident in His presence. You know, the church picnics and stuff, and we'll have one coming up probably in August sometime. We'll pick a date and have one, and hopefully all you'll be there and be fun. Yeah, good stuff, right? And, you pass around sometimes a sign-up sheet, and I think sometimes it maybe be better to designate certain things and then pass out the sign-up sheet, because then you get, like, if you don't, you get, like, 10 potato salads, or, like, 7 people bring brownies, and I mean, I love brownies, but come on, how many brownies can you eat, you know, or chocolate chip cookies, everybody brings them, and so you just have a load, so maybe it'd be better to, put hot dogs, hamburgers, potato salad, chips, and then pass it out, and then people can decide what they want to bring. Well, let's say we did that, we passed that out to you, and, one of the things was hamburgers and hot dogs, right? And now, I don't know about you, but that's a staple at picnics, right? I mean, that's just, you can't have a picnic without that, right? And let's say you sign up for that, and so everybody else gets the list. They say, I think I'll bring hamburgers. Oh, that person signed up for it. And then we get the list back, and we go over it, and we see, whatever's not on the list, the church will make up for it. I look in the list, I see hamburgers and hot dogs are there. Okay, so this person's designated to bring them. The church isn't going to bring them. Well, So, of course, as the church, you're invited, right? But now you have to bring something with you, don't you? You're required, if you're going to be at this picnic, you are required to bring what you signed up for, right? Because if you don't, there's going to go without, isn't there? Do you see it? Do you see? I know it's a simple thing, but it helps me. Let me just say this, as nicely and sweetly as I can. If you sign up for hamburgers and hot dogs, don't you dare come to the picnic without them. Right? Don't you dare show up with a broccoli casserole or some bean casserole, which are good, but don't you sign up for one thing and bring the other, right? Because if you do, guess what? You're going to go without the hamburgers and hot dogs, and a whole lot of people around you are going to go without something that could have been brought by somebody else, but you signed up for, so you're required to bring something, right? Yeah. I just noticed. Caleb forgot to clean up before service. He likes to come out here and play. Praise God. That's awesome. And so you're required to bring boldness. Don't you dare show up in the presence of God when you have a need with intimidation. Don't you dare show up with shyness. Don't you dare show up with a sense of condemnation. Don't you dare show up with a sense of guilt or inferiority. Because you will not receive from the Father showing up that way. Because God is a God of faith. God is a God of somebody that He wants you to believe Him. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout what? The whole earth, looking for somebody that will trust Him. Looking for somebody that will believe what He said." He says to come boldly. I'll tell you what, the way I hear a lot of Christians pray, it's no wonder they don't get any prayers answered. Well, Lord, I wouldn't, if I were you, bless me. And Lord, I'm probably the last person. Now, I've been there. I've prayed that. And I've thought that. I'm probably the last person on planet Earth that you'd want to bless. But you know, if you just find it in your gracious ways, would you please just, and then fill in the blank. You think that's boldness? That is not being a doer of the word. And when you don't see, we know that when the Bible says don't murder, that if we murder, it's wrong. Right. And it's a sin, right? Yeah. Why then when we show up like a, I better not say that word. It wasn't a swear word, but it's probably not the best word to say in church. When we show up, we'll say it this way, it's a Pollyanna. That's what, the coach, Chuck Dickerson, he used to be the coach for the Bills, defensive coach, and he had a radio show on WGR when people would call up and talk about, being kind of sweet when the Bills would be terrible, and they'd call up, and he'd say, stop being a Pollyanna, right? We show up in this attitude of being a Pollyanna with God, and we don't get anything, and we wonder. We need to go expecting. That's why I said, how many of you would prance in and say, Lord, this is what I need. I thank you for it and leave and know that it's done. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and just walked away. Didn't wait to see if it changed. Jesus said, Lord, I know you're going to raise Lazarus. I know it. I just know you're going to do it. Was confident. He said, we're going to the other side. Yeah. I'm going to take a nap. No, I don't care what happens, and wake me up when we get there. He just, boldness. Why? He had no inferiority complex with the Father. He had no sense of guilt, no sense of condemnation. Why? He'd never missed God one time. He never had any faults. He never had any failures. He stood in the presence of God fearless to receive from it. And that isn't boldness, fearlessness? Isn't that knowing you belong? Praise God. Hallelujah. The Message Bible says, so let's walk right up to Him and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Hallelujah. You see, any feelings that you don't belong or that you don't deserve or that you fall short or that you're sinful, that's wrong thinking, and it'll destroy your boldness. Hallelujah. Sin or self-consciousness will hinder you. God consciousness will cause you to receive. God's given you a gift. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. You see, when people understand that, you see, the best gifts are when the, don't you, how many of you love valuable gifts? When people give you something that's really like, you know, floats your boat. That really, you knew it was like expensive. You knew it was awesome. You know, one time I had a group of youth groupers for my birthday, just on their own, get together. And they gave me like almost close to, it was like close to $1,000. And I can't remember the amount. Close to like $1,000 in Cabela's. We're talking youth group kids who worked extra, who did different things, who had yard sales, to give me Cabela's gift certificates to get me a gun that I wanted. And when they gave me that gift, man, I was in tears and just so thankful. And I mean, here, teenagers that don't have the best jobs and aren't, you know, doing this. But the point that I bring that up is because of this, is that I knew how much they wanted me to have that gift. And that made it that much more awesome. You know, when somebody gives a gift, but they're just, you know, they make sure to let you know this really put a strain on our finances. You know, we had to really work extra, but we really want you to have it. You know, it's like there's an asterisk there then. It's almost like there's a dig there. It's like, even if you had to work, even if, just go and say, I wanted you to have this. You don't have to tell them how you had to give it or what you had to do. Just, I wanted you to be blessed, because that to me is worth more than the gift. Knowing that you really want me to have that. And these kids, I mean, I'm not stupid. I know what went into the gift. But see, here's what you have to understand, is that God wants you to have this. He wants you to be this way. He wants you to be so confident. You see, you relate God to people. You have a God idea because your idea of God is your idea of what people are. See, people hold you in that place of failure. People hold you in that place of lack of being perfect. People hold you in that place of sin. And you think God does the same thing to you. And the way you look at God is the way you look at how people are. God's not like people. He doesn't want to hold you in that place of defeat. He has given you a gift that He wants you to partake of. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Oh, I just love teaching people the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up hearing this stuff. I grew up hearing 10-minute messages and the fact that never heard anything about faith, never heard anything, and no one taught me about righteousness. Always feeling bad about myself, man. I'm sick and tired of not just doing the Bible. I'm sick and tired of not just, what does the Word of God say? Forget religion. Forget our stupid traditions. You know, forget our all this garbage. The Bible says, Jesus said this, He said, people worship me, but they worship me in vain. He said, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They don't have a true sense in the Word of God of who He is. It's all this religious garbage. No, what does the Bible say? If the Bible says for you to receive, you got to come boldly, you better have someone that's boldly enough to tell you that. That's bold enough to actually tell you that, and then to expect that you're going to do it, and also to tell you, listen, if you don't come this way, don't expect to get blessed. I love the Word. I love the Word. Romans 5 and verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift. You know what I had to do to earn those Cabela's gift cards? Nothing. You know what I have to do to earn my Christmas presents that I shake and try to find out what they're? I had to do nothing. It's a gift, right? And when it becomes not a gift is when you have to earn it. Then it becomes a job, right? If there's a payment required, or an earning to get it, that's not a gift. A gift is something freely where payment's not expected, right? Yeah. It's a gift of righteousness. Shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Do you see that there? It jumped off the page to me last night in my office. More than it ever has before. It says the gift of righteousness, which is something you can't earn. And I'm going to give you a definition of righteousness in a second. The gift of righteousness shall reign in life. What was that gift of righteousness supposed to propel you into? Reigning in life. Do you see it? The ones that receive the gift of righteousness shall reign in this life. But see, it's not just, well, it's on the page and I got it. No, it's taking it for your life, believing in it, and walking that out. The Bible says those people are to reign in life. Those ones that have that sense of righteousness, those ones that have the sense that they're righteous, they're the ones that are going to reign in life. Why? Jesus was so righteous. Did he reign in life? He sure did. People say, well, he got killed at the end. Yeah, but remember Jesus said, oh, nobody has the power to take my life. Remember he said that? I lay it down. I love that. They could have. He said I could have called legions, 10,000s of angels down. And Jesus said, no man takes my life. He was fearless. He'd walk through crowds that wanted to hurl him off a cliff. He'd go into the temple when they were mistreating the house of God and flip the tables over and be angry with what was going on because he was so righteous. He was so fearless. He was so confident that God heard him. He was so confident, he was so bold that in times of need, not one word of doubt came out of his mouth, not one word of fear, not one trembling or anxious moment because he knew his place with God. He knew he had a connection with God, the same connection that you guys can have. He said, the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Praise God, it's a gift. What is righteousness? Are you ready for the definition? Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt or condemnation. The ability to stand in that presence of God. Remember, God said, let us come. When you come to him for a need, you're in his presence, right? Yeah. Righteousness is the ability to be there without one sense of guilt or condemnation. That's what righteousness. You see, when Jesus went to the Father, he wasn't thinking, oh God, I hope he hears me, but man, I don't know if he's going to help me because of what I did yesterday. Because he never missed it. He never messed up, so he never had that. Say, well, we've messed up. Yeah, but God's given you something for that. He's given you something for that. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. Praise God. It says, for he, God, has made Jesus to be sin for us. Wow. Who knew no sin? That we might become be made the righteousness of God in him. Look what it says here. Do you think that Jesus was just made sin for everything you did prior to when you got saved? Or do you think Jesus was made sin for every wrong thing that you could possibly ever do? Well, we know that it's everything. Because, hold your place here, but quickly flip over to 1 John 1 and verse 9. 1 John 1 and verse 9, by the way, is not written to unbelievers. It's written to believers. And you know that because he says beloved in it. He talks about being children in it. Well, the world's not children of God. The world's not beloved. Christians are. But 1 John 1 and verse 9 says this, that if we confess our sins, now remember, this is being written to people who are already born again, who already became new creations, who already accepted Jesus, who already had their January 10th, 2002 moment in a hunting cabin in Youngsville, Pennsylvania. That's when I got born again. They've already had this moment. But see, here's the thing. Thank God he doesn't require us to be perfect after that. Now, that's the goal we should shoot for, but he knows and he's given us something. It's called forgiveness. It says, if we confess our sins, when he says our, he's saying the born-again believer missing God. Let me ask you a question and make sure you answer this right because I don't want to have to call you up after service and cast that lying devil out of you. Right? How many of you, since the time you, maybe you were a little kid, but since the time you accepted Jesus, how many of you have made a mistake and had any sin? All of us have. And again, if you want to say that you haven't, seriously, we'll all come up, we'll just stretch forth our hands and with all the faith we can, just believe God that that lying devil will come right out of you. We've all missed God. We've all missed him. Well then, let me ask you a question. Why do you magnify what you've done as if it's so much worse than what somebody else has done? All sin leads to hell. Remember when Jesus saw the woman at the well and came to him and he said, different story. They brought Jesus, the adulterous woman, and they brought her. He said, this woman was caught in the very act. John chapter 8, if you need it. He said, this woman was caught in the very act. How embarrassing. Notice that, isn't it interesting? Their heart wasn't to get justice. They didn't bring the guy. Notice that? Their heart was to catch Jesus in a lie. And they said, and they basically said to him, Master, what do you say? Moses in the law ordered that we stone her. Well, see, what they were trying to do is catch Jesus in a trap. Because if he would have said, yeah, stone her, he would have been using the Roman authority and usurping authority that he didn't have. And if he would have said, don't do it, he would have looked like a false prophet. I love Jesus. He got down on his knees and he wrote in the sand. I believe he was waiting to hear from heaven. He didn't just spout off at the mouth. He waited to hear from heaven what to say. And remember, he stood up, he said, cast a stone at her, the one here that has no sin. And they dropped their rocks one by one and they left. Why? They all had sin. My point is that her sin is so magnified in their eyes that day. But Jesus said, if you have any sin, cast a stone. What's he saying? All sin is equal. So stop magnifying your sin and thinking you're so bad that it's keeping you away from God and your failures are so bad. It all leads to hell, but thank God he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Now flip back to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. It says, for he made him sin for us. The sin you're going to commit a year down the road, Jesus was made that for you. That's covered. Now, there's a doctrine going around that says you can do whatever you want. There is. It's called the grace message. It's absolutely sickening. It'll make you want to puke because it's everything that the Bible isn't. And all it's doing is drawing big crowds to churches. And the doctrine's this. See, if you don't have access to some people that I have access to by being a minister, I don't mean that being special. Just you have maybe have access to mechanics or, you know, different people in your business. But I have access to ministers. There are things going around this grace doctrine that says that all sin was paid for, which it is, but that you never have to ask forgiveness and you can live however you want because it'll just be forgiven. Romans 6, real fast flip there. I've got to show you this. Remember in Romans 5, it says we've received the gift of righteousness? And in Romans 5 and verse 21 says, sin has reigned unto death even so that grace would reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is the grace message. All sin that you've done was paid for by Jesus. But look what it says in chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Paul saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, we're about to find out the answer. Shall we continue to sin because there's grace? That's what people are teaching. Doctrines of devils going on out in the body of Christ, telling people, live however you want. And it's walking people right into the enemy, and it's causing people to miss out on what God has for them. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, let's look at the answer in verse 2. God forbid. The Lord's saying, there's grace and there's forgiveness. But do we just continue in sin because of that? God forbid. No, the Bible says to crucify your flesh. The Bible says to renew your mind. The Bible says we ought to be growing. The same thing shouldn't be tripping us up. We should be growing in God. That ought to be our goal. You know what it all comes down to? Heart. The heart of man. Have you ever intentionally missed God and said, you know what, I'm going to do this because I know it's a sin because I know there's forgiveness for me. Oh, that's dangerous thinking. You know, when I miss God, I'm always like, oh, idiot. What are you doing? Forgive me, Father. Okay, now go back to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, and we're getting close to ending. He said, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus was made the sin of when you mistreat your spouse a year from now, when you have the wrong tone, when maybe you disobey or dishonor your boss or do something that you shouldn't do. That sin has been paid for. But thank God for 1 John 1, 9. When we miss it, we just say, Father, we have to confess it. Isn't it interesting that it says, if we confess, in 1 John 1 and verse 9. It doesn't say that, well, you're a Christian and that sin's covered. No, if we confess our sins. You see, people want to say that he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of our sins, but they want to cut out the if we confess. There it is again. You can't have what the Bible says unless you do the whole thing. You can only have your sin forgiven post-salvation as if you come to Him with a sorrowful heart and say, Lord, I'm so sorry I missed You. I missed it, and I ask You to forgive me. And the Bible says, okay, I'll remove unrighteousness. Well, what does unrighteousness back into righteousness look like? It says that we might be made the righteousness. Now, you'd be in trouble if they said the righteousness of your pastor. You'd be in trouble. And if they said the righteousness of Billy Graham, you know, it's amazing. We sometimes exalt that they're human beings. They miss God just as much as anybody misses God. You've been made the righteousness of God. You say, well, I've heard this over and over again. Then why do you still condemn yourself? Why do you still have that sense of guilt? Why are you always beating yourself up for your failures? Righteous people don't do that. Righteous people say, I am as righteous as God will ever be. Say, yeah, but what about my sin? Well, what about it? Ask for forgiveness and get it gone. Yeah. Amen? Amen? God wants to open a door for you to receive from Him. And when He looks at you and looks at Jesus, there ain't one or the other that's more righteous. You are equal. And that ought to make you fearless. That ought to make you full of boldness. We'll close here in Matthew 15. We looked at this on Wednesday night. Did God tell you to come boldly?
Yes.
Hallelujah, He did. Just write this reference down. Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now what? No condemnation. How much condemnation? None. None. No condemnation. You say, yeah, but see, there you go again. Yeah, but. You're seeing yourself. See yourself in Jesus. He paid for it.
Yeah.
It's done. Matthew 15, hallelujah, in verse 21, I want to read this real quick. It says, then Jesus went and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. This is that story of that Syrophoenician woman we always talk about. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast. Now Canaan, she's not a Jew. It's important to know. She's not one of the Jewish people. She's not in covenant with God. It says, she cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So she's got a need, huh? If any of you have children, I'll tell you what, when your children have something going on, it affects you more than when you have something going on. Let me just tell you that the truth on that. But He answered her not a word. Jesus ignored her. A woman in desperate need, He ignored her. And the disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. So now she went to the disciples. He ignored her, so she went to the next closest people that were around Him, the disciples, and they ignored her and said, get this crazy, nutty woman away from us. And verse 24, but He answered, now notice what He said to her. I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So now she gets denied three times. Jesus, number one, ignores her. The disciples, Jesus' crew, ignores her. And the third thing, Jesus now says to her, I'm not called to help you. Most people would have took off running and put Jesus on the blogs, posted all these things about how bad and mean Jesus is. No, see, God's good all the time. He had a purpose and a reason here, but I'm getting to something I'm not going to re-preach Wednesday. And that's probably good. It took us like an hour and a half. Praise the Lord, but it was good. And it got some people over some things, but it says, I'm not called, but only to the lost house of Israel. And He said, then came she and worshiped Him, saying, Lord, help me. She was desperate, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Tell you, when it comes to your kids, man, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing that would stop me. I just something about it. And she said, Lord, help me. Now, this is even better. She gets rejected a fourth time. Listen to what He says to her. But He answered and said, it is not meet or it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Ouch. She just got called a dog. So Jesus ignores her. The disciples ignore her. Jesus said, I'm not called to help you. And then He says, by the way, you're a dog. He says, it's not right for me to take what belongs to my children and give it to someone like you. Now remember, God's good all the time. He's full of mercy and love. He wasn't insulting her. He wasn't trying to be mean to her. See, people would look at it and say, man. But no, but you got to remember the whole Bible. Jesus is good all the time. But here's what I want you to see. She's now been rejected four times. Does she have a need? She sure does. Notice what she said. She said, truth, Lord. That's true. I am a dog. I'm not in the family. She said, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. What'd she say? She said, I might not be able to sit at the table, and I might not be able to get the main feast, and you call me a dog, but there's one thing I know about a dog, is a dog can come up and get the crumbs, and all I need is one crumb from you, Lord. All I need is one crumb from you, and my daughter's healed. And look at what Jesus said. It just rocked his world. He said, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it even unto you as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, why am I talking about that today? Did she have a need? Was she in the presence of God? She sure was. Jesus was God in the flesh. Did she come to Jesus? Now, let me tell you something. If her daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, something is not right in that house. It's not. Something is not going right if her daughter is possessed and grievously vexed with the devil. Now, if you study this society, the Canaanite, the Syrophoenician society, it's one of the most licentious cultures, idol worshipers, promiscuous living. I mean, go back and look in history. She probably came from who knows how much sin. But notice what she didn't come to Jesus with. Now, she didn't even have this gift of righteousness. Israelites didn't either. They had to go by the law and doing the right and wrong things. We have the gift of righteousness. We've been made it for free. She didn't even have this. But notice the attitude that got her to receive. Remember, God says, come boldly. She did not go to God and say, my daughter's grievously vexed, but you know, I didn't do this with my marriage. I didn't do this right with my children. You know, I don't have the best habits here. I don't watch the right things. I don't say, notice she didn't come with that. What did she come with the attitude of? I have a need. You have what it takes to meet that need, and I'm not leaving till I get it. Was that boldness?
Yes.
There's no doubt she wasn't perfect. There's no doubt there was something off in her family that would cause a devil to be able to consume her children. Because I'll tell you what, ain't no devil getting my kids. Ain't no devil getting my kids. I know who I am in Jesus. Something is going off here in her home for that to happen. Something's not right. And she didn't come to him with what she wasn't. She didn't come to him with her failures. She didn't come to him with her failures in her first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, however many marriages. I didn't do this right with my kids. I didn't do this right with my marriages. I didn't do this right. She didn't come with that. She came with, I need it, you got it. I need it, and you got it, and I'm getting it. Was she bold? Oh, it would do us good to be like her. Go with her and say, you got what I need, and I'm getting it. I'm not coming with all the failures I've had in life. I'm not coming with all the mistakes and missteps and the thing I have to confess every day over and over again. I'm not coming with that. I'm coming with the fact of my position in Christ. You've made me righteous. You look at me as you look at Jesus. I'm coming to get what you said I can have. That'll turn your father on. That'll turn him on. And this, I'm not preaching going wrong, and I'm not preaching doing the wrong thing. Thank God for mercy and grace, but when you miss it, that doesn't have to stop you from getting what God has for you. Amen? You're righteous. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of righteousness, Lord. We just all need to know this. And we all need to live it out and have that reality. You know, yeah. Well, I don't have the most perfect church attendance. Well, I don't do this. Stop. Father, you've put us in a position to receive from you. Lord, we're just so grateful and so thankful for that position of righteousness. That position that allows us to stand boldly, fearlessly, and confidently. Lord, you already paid for all our sins. And all we have to simply do is tell you we're so sorry. And you take it away. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. Thank you for people like the Canaanite woman who just came to you and said, it doesn't matter what my life looks like, it doesn't matter what I've done, I'm coming to get it. And Father, that's the way we need to be. You've called us to be bold. You've invited us into your presence to be bold. So, Father, we just say we're going to be doers of the word. And anytime condemnation or guilt try to creep in for anything we've done in the past, for anything that we're struggling, we'll just say, no, we're righteous and we're made that way. Hallelujah. With heads bowed and eyes closed, of course, we're on live stream now. I think it's working. I don't know for sure, but we'll find out. But there's also people in here that I don't know everybody's past. Maybe you're here and you've never heard anything like this, or you never understood that, wow. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. God offers humanity peace with him. He's not the religious way that people say he's mad at you, that God's ready to strike you down, that God's ready to hurt your life, that God's so mad at you. No, he's made peace with you. He laid Jesus down across the divide. He made Jesus the bridge. Jesus bridged the gap between God and humanity. And he wants people to walk across that bridge of Jesus to have peace with him, to become his children. Maybe you're here, maybe you're listening to this online, and you've never received Jesus. You don't know what that means. Listen, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you simply just say, Lord, I believe you died. I believe you rose again. Come into my life. If you believe that and you confess that, the Bible says God will save you. He'll make you righteous. He'll become your father. He'll protect and provide, love and care for you, guide and direct you. Now, if you're here or if you're listening to this message and you want to receive Jesus, it's not hard. It's not difficult. The Bible says just call on his name. In the sanctuary here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus and you want to make him the Lord of your life, nobody's looking around, would you just raise your hand? I'll have you put it right back down. If you want to receive Jesus, just put your hand in the air. Anybody that want to receive Jesus, nobody's looking, just quickly put it up and put it right back down. Anybody want to receive Jesus here today? Father, I don't see any hands in the sanctuary, but there might be people here that are shy or maybe online that, of course, I can't see their hands. If you're here, if you're listening, and you need to receive Jesus, just you simply cry out to him in private and say, Lord, I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. And if you prayed that and meant it, you're saved and you're going to heaven. And I just encourage you. We're going to pray that prayer together here in a second, but I encourage you, if you've prayed it or if you pray it and if you meant it, please let us know. You can email us. Please come up to me after service. I just would like to know. So I can pray for you and get you started on the path with God. But let's go ahead and let's all just repeat this after me. And if you want to get saved, just mean this with all your heart and jump right into this prayer. Everybody say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross for my sins.
I believe you rose again from the dead.
And I ask you to come into my life.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.